Word of God read from Genesis chapter 17. I'll read 9 verses of that chapter, chapter 17 of Genesis, verses 1 through 9. Dear people of God, hear ye his word. Genesis 17, beginning verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. May the Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. Once again, we ask thee, Lord, to draw nigh to us, for we know that we advance in this life in a spiritual way. Only through, not exclusively, but mainly through the means of grace, the prayer, the word heard, and the sacraments as well. We ask, O God, that thou would bless our time now together as a family, a church family. In Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Every time there is a baptism, whether it's an infant baptism or a baptism of an older person, I should appreciate, and so should you, the mission, the task that we have here before, set before us on earth by our God. And baptism reminds us, does it not, of missions work? I want to explain that a little. But first, I want to talk about a piece of evidence that has brought out a mystery that was hidden for thousands of years, hundreds of years into thousands. I then want to speak of the promises of the covenant that God made with Abraham, at least a couple of those promises. I want to speak a little bit more in the third place of the mystery revealed. And finally come to, and so we know. We know the mystery. We have been given the mystery explained to us. And so we go from there. But first, you realize that there was a mystery given to the people of God in the Old Testament, the old dispensation, that no one really figured out. They knew it was there, they had all the pieces, but it just was not clear to them how God was going to to do this, to work out this covenant, to make his promises happen. And that's because man could not do it alone. He could not figure it out alone. He needed a work of the Spirit. And in the New Testament, God has taught us through his holy prophets and apostles by the Spirit that the Gentiles should be followers, fellow heirs and followers, and the same body and partakers of the same promise in Christ by the gospel. That is, or was, the mystery revealed, that the Gentiles should share in the promises of God in Christ through the gospel. And so, we realize even way back when here, in Genesis chapter 17, when God was speaking to Abraham and God was making covenant with Abraham, that God had a church in view that was universal, that included not only the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. You see, normally, or many people, when they look at this passage and they read it, will quickly go to verse 7, especially we Presbyterians, but many people would consider this promise as the main event. Verse 7, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee," right? I mean, we've heard that before. Certainly our children have been exposed to it in Sunday school and other classes and catechism class and so on. But we should also consider of great worth. In fact, that promise means nothing without the preceding promise, or part of the promise that we hear about in verses 4 through 6. "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee." Did you hear that? See? Then the promise from verse 7, or coming in verse 7, makes much more sense, means much more to us than before, because we see that God has in his sight here, obviously before making the promise to Abraham, but upon announcement of it, that he has in mind the universal church. Through this promise to Abraham, God has a church for the nations, of the nations. Not only the Jewish nation, but includes now all the nations, all the peoples of the earth. And that is a marvel. That's why we're here, right? That's why we become part. That's why the scripture has become interesting to us. That's why when we read this word, it becomes alive. And it affects our lives. And we hope and pray the lives of our sons and our daughters. For we have a great responsibility. And I want to point that up during the course of this message, that we have a great and wonderful promise, a set of promises, but that calls us to a new life. I'm going to take up the promise of God and I'm going to run with it, right? That ought to be my... I'm going to advance his word in my life and in the lives of my children, as well as in the lives of my family, my other family and friends and neighbors and even enemies. This matters. And what is the promise? Well, the promise is that God has entered into a relationship with us, with Abraham here, obviously. Abraham is called a friend of God, friend to God. There was obviously an intimate and careful and productive, if you will, relationship between him, between God and Abraham. And he promises to Abraham that I will be a God to you and to your seed. I'm going to talk about that seed, how it expands into seeds in a little bit. But God makes a faithful promise. God doesn't go back on his promises. He never changes his mind. He never leaves the scene. He's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all the same that way. They don't change. So once God says something, he means it. But we have to discover what he really means here, right? Because he made a promise that he's going to be a God to Abraham and to his seed after him, and that he is going to expand into all the nations, to all the peoples of the world, that he is going to be a God in a rapport and a relationship with all the peoples of the world. That's the way it seems to be worded here. That all the nations of the world are going to be brought to God in relationship to him. Now, these are wonderful things. This is a marvelous, marvelous truth, and the promise that is beyond any promise that anyone else can make. But it's a serious thing, right? If we're the promised people, if the promise is towards us, then that's going to change us. That's going to make a difference, isn't it? And we want to make certain that we have that in mind. So we got it clear now. Abraham establishes his promise that he will have a relation, an intimate relation with all the peoples in the nations. He's going to include the nations of the earth, all the nations, no exception. And that would include all the peoples, right? No exception. And he's also included in that promise, particularly Abraham and his seed. And that's why I associate baptism with missions. The Great Commission. The Great Commission says, go into what? All the nations to all the people, no exceptions. As God gives you opportunity, go into all the nations to all the peoples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I've commanded. That's why I said initially that every baptism brings this to mind, the Great Commission. Missions work. Baptism excites missions work. And it brings up, of course, this promise of Abraham, of God to Abraham, that I am going to be a God to you and your seed, and that you're going to be a father of many, many nations. And I will make the nations of thee. Kings shall come from thee. And I don't really want to exclude any nation. I don't see the exclusion of any nation there, right? Or any peoples. Now, there's two aspects to this promise that is pointed out by Peter in his preaching in Acts, recorded in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, where he says, the promise is unto you and to your children. He's speaking about the promise made to Abraham back here in Genesis chapter 17. The promises to you and to your children. And to all those, to those that are far off, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the promise is to the children of believers, to believers and their children, right? That's what Peter's saying there. That's what the apostle is preaching. The promise is here. The children, the word child there is mainly infant, baby, toddler, and youngster. It's teenager. I was sharing with the Christian Studies group, young people, that the concept teenager was not a concept. It's not a biblical concept. That came into vogue about 70 years ago. That was an invented term. About 70 years, that's all it's been in existence. Teenager never was used before. You know, when people grew up into 12 years old, 13, they were considered young adults. So children's referring to these youngsters. The promise that God made to Abraham is to you, parent, and to your child, however old he or she is. And then he goes on to say, and to all that are far off, to the nations, to those beyond. Beyond Israel, in that particular case, in the case of Abraham, beyond your own family and circle of interest. That is beyond believers and their children. To those who are far off, that are outside of the family of God, that are outside of the church at the moment. Right? Two aspects to that. It's to those who are in the church, in the line of generations, parents and their children, the promises to a Jew, but also to all those who are far off, to those who are outside of the church, to the nations. Picking up on the promise that God's making to Abraham here. But then a very important thing he adds to this verse, a phrase that ought not ever to be excluded or missed. And that is, even at the end of that verse, verse 39 in Acts chapter 2, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's operative. That's important. That really defines what this promise is going to look like, how it's going to work out. The promise is to you inside the church. At the time, it was to the Jewish people and only to them. Now it's to the, in the New Testament, it's to the church and their families, the church believers and their children. And the promises to those who are outside the church, where our missionaries are going now, like we talked about this morning in opening exercises a little bit, the missionary Falter going to China, back to Korea. He's on furlough now. He's going back to Korea. Well, those people have never heard in North Korea, have never heard about Jesus, have not grown up in a Christian family or household. What about them, Lord? They are far off, right? But only as many as the Lord our God shall call. And that really is, well, the fly in the ointment for some people, the thing that's very difficult to accept. Not everybody in the church is saved, right? We know that. We see that. We're aware that there are many people that have made a profession, whether they were adults, they got baptized as adults, or adult baptisms, as they call it, or as infants, they grew up and then they fell away. Whatever it is, we've seen it time and again, and they never return, for they go to their graves without repentance. We've seen it. We've heard of it. We hope in our case, and in the case of our family, in the case of our friends, and so on, it's not too many or any. And certainly we don't know to the end. But you see, that is the emphasis here in that promise, that the promise is to those in the church and their children, of course, and the promise is to those afar off, to the nations of the earth, no exceptions to, but only to those who are called. And so, we're talking about a spiritual event here, a promise that has spiritual implications, practical but spiritual, and not simply something that's mere tradition, is taken for granted as it sometimes is. God has in mind a wonderful, wonderful promise to a marvelous group of people that come from within the church in the Old Testament, the Jewish nation, in the New Testament, the Church of Jesus Christ, and also come from without, that are brought in. But not everyone. Right? Even to as many as the Lord shall call. And so God has this universal church in mind in this promise that he's making to Abraham. But it's a careful promise, something that we need to be clear on. It was evident, it was there then, but it wasn't evident to the patriarchs and to the prophets of old. They knew that there was something going on, that there was something beyond this. God was making a promise that would expand into the future and include all the nations. They understood that, but how was he going to do it? How was God going to make this happen? They didn't know how he was going to do it, but we do. We have learned how. How did God see the universal church way back then when he's making a promise hundreds of years before Pentecost and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit? How is God going to do this, bringing in the Gentiles? And he says it in verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in the generations for an everlasting covenant to be God unto thee and to thy seed. He's going to do it through his seed. That's how he's going to do it. Which seed? Which seed? Isaac? His child? How's he going to do that? How's he going to bring in all the nations of the earth through Isaac? Isaac is not going to live 10,000 years. How's he going to do it? And we know from what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, explaining this, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Aha! The mystery revealed. That's how God is going to bring this about. He's going to be a God to you and to your children and to all the peoples of the earth through Christ. The seed of Abraham to which God was referring was not Isaac. Temporarily, yes. Isaac would be born and the line of generations leading to Christ would be preserved. Beginning with Isaac there. But it's Christ that God is referring to. You know, at first I didn't think so. I said, that's reading into it too much, that it means Christ. But Paul says it in Galatians. Why did he say that? Because as I thought about it more and more, I realized that obviously It would have been clear to even Abraham that Isaac, his son, was not going to be the one to bring in all the nations. That wasn't going to happen for hundreds of years later. He must mean his son's son, you know, going on. He must mean someone else. And yes, Paul explains it. It's Christ. They're bound together with Father Abraham. Abraham becomes our father in Christ, right? You see, that's how many seeds now appear. Because all of us who are in Christ, however young we are, however old, however foreign, all of us in Christ are bound together. And so Abraham does become the father of many nations. My grandparents, my father's grandparents were from Italy. They came from Italy, both of them, to New York, Ellis Island there. And my mother's were from Ireland, Italian and Irish. Can you imagine? But that, I heard about that, and it's true. But they were from those nations, and some of your ancestors from Germany. My wife is English and German and all that. And some of you, mainly from Europe, we're of European descent, most of us. Some may have Asian, but the nations are gathered together in Christ. That's how the nations are blessed. So we see that this promise is expanded through Christ. He gets all the glory and praise. Now, the thing I want to also emphasize about this now, having said all this, is that the covenant and the promises and the fact that you're saved and I'm saved and my children are saved and the people to whom the missionaries go are saved is not because they make a profession, is not because they have a baptism. It's because of grace. Right? I'm saved by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ, but I'm saved by grace, not by faith. I'm saved by grace through faith. Faith is an instrument through which I receive the grace of God, but it's the grace that saves me. And who administers grace? Does the water of baptism administer grace to the... Even if it did, as some people believe. But even if the waters of baptism administered grace so that they actually did wash not only the head of the baby, but also the soul, there would only be for that original sin and any sin that an infant could possibly commit between birth and baptism. What about all the sins afterwards? So it's not that. It's not a physical thing that happens. It's a spiritual thing. God accomplishes his great and wonderful promise always and only through grace. And who administers grace? Not the minister, not the priest, but God's Spirit. God's Spirit. And to whom does the Spirit go? To whomever he pleases. God calls through his Spirit whomever he wills. That's not our call. That's his. And so people are always saved, whether they're infants, whether they're born in the church, among the family of God, or whether they come from outside and be brought in through missionary activities and witness and all that. They're always saved by grace. They're always called by God. Now, we're imperfect, so we can't always tell who it is. But we have a responsibility here. And I want us to learn from this. If we heard anything, to learn that we have a great responsibility towards missions, and even in our own orbit, if you will. And I sort of want to say to us, you know that I'm a firm Presbyterian Reformed, And I am a traditionalist. I'm old school. I'm not new school. I'm not new life. I'm not two office view. I'm not any of that stuff. I'm old, and I'm getting older. I'm getting more traditional. I am not quitting with anything. Whatever I told you before, ditto. Except my sin and my mistakes and my errors. But I want us to think as missionaries and be like a missionary, like a missionary. We're not missionaries because that's an ordained... I even say that women, it's wrong to call women missionaries. It's wrong to call deacon medical staff missionaries. They're not. They call them that in the OPC. And, you know, I'm not going to be up in arms about it. But technically, biblically, they're not. It's an ordained evangelist. It's a missionary or a minister. What a missionary is. But I'm saying here, let's be like that. In the sense that we need to bear witness. We need to take the promises that are about to be heard from the family here today, from the promises that we've made to God, from the vows that we have taken, the oaths that we have made. We need to take it seriously that God only saves those whom he calls. He only saves his chosen people. He only saves the elect. Just as the promise to all the nations, to many nations, doesn't mean that every single person from the nations is going to be saved, is going to be part of the covenant promise of God. Likewise, not every person in the church is going to be saved and their children. They're not all good. Only those that are called. But who calls them? How is the call made? What are we supposed to do here, Lord? Wait until the Spirit comes on the person somehow, some way? No. God uses, please use means. He uses us. As parents, as family, as friends, as deacons and elders and ministers of the gospel, to call that person, to issue forth his call. And so I'm urging the parents of little Micah, do not take this moment for granted. It is to you, and it is to your child, your son. It's to all of us that take it seriously, that hear the call of God. And so as parents, you ought to make certain that that son of yours hears the call of God. And all of you who have heard the call of God, right? You ought to take it seriously. Now, some of our kids have fallen away. You know who they are better than I do. You rub shoulders with these people. And they're not acting saved. They're not acting like they heard anything, or very little. You know who they are. They're in your own families. I know that you know I know. You don't have to tell me that your so-and-so has gone astray. I've heard. People are only too willing to tell you about other people. Talk about my children. They talk about yours too. But we don't give up. They have fallen away. Some have fallen away. But that doesn't mean they can't return in faith and repentance. That's why you need to be like a missionary. You can't give this up. You can't quit. You can't stop. You have to continue to promote and advance the truth. Not compromise with anyone or anything. Nothing compromise, but say it in sweetness, say it in love. You know, do it in your kind and gentle way if that's what you think works, but do it. Don't ever lose hope. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to those who are far off. That's why we continue to do missions work. It's such a good example to us. It's baptism. Missions work go together. baptize and teach. Baptize and evangelize. Baptize and do missions. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord Jesus, we want to advance your cause in every way that we can. And we certainly are doing that in the church here at Calvary Church, in our denomination, and in very many other faithful churches where thy word is lifted up, where thy word is held dear to the people, where thy sacraments are practiced and found. And yet, O Lord, we have a tendency, especially when things are not sensible to us, like we can touch or feel or see or something like that, that's intangible, we tend to forget. And we like that. But we pray and we ask, O Lord, that we will never forget that the spiritual things matter most, that this faith life that thou hast called us to, this covenant life that thou hast called us, this intimate relations that we're in with our God, is the most meaningful thing of all in our lives. And we need to advance that. We need to act like that's the case, especially in front of our own sons and daughters, but also beyond that to other people. And so find us doing so, Lord, believing so and doing so till the day that we die, that we go to heaven to be with thee. And may our children hear and believe the things that we have heard and we believe and have put into practice. In your name we pray all this. Amen.